This is our third message in our series entitled Sense and Nonsense About Prayer. There's some perfectly good sense out of the Scripture about prayer, and there's some things that we think that are nonsense about prayer. And so our first message, of course, took that title. We looked at the Lord's Prayer laid out in Luke chapter 11, and that was 2 weeks ago. Then last week, we looked at sense and nonsense about prayer and unconfessed sin. See, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I want our prayers to get to heaven, we cannot have unconfessed sin in our lives. Amen? That's just nonsense. We may think that, but I'll tell you this. If you and I pray with unconfessed sin in our hearts, those prayers are not getting past the ceiling. Amen? And we talked about how unconfessed sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you between the Lord and your God, that He will not hear you." Amen? We talked about that. Secondly, that unconfessed sin plugs the ears of God. It really does. This idea that the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Amen? Then we talked about how unconfessed sin guarantees failure before God. You say, how is that, Pastor? Proverbs 28:13, "Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper." Prosper is the opposite of failing. Amen. Then we looked at how unconfessed sin is not limited to fleshly sins. We'll talk about that tonight. And unconfessed sin leads to the chastisement of God. You remember, and many of you, as we take the Lord's table, which we will at the end of June here, you remember that Paul admonished them to examine themselves. Why? Because there were many, because they didn't examine themselves, because they didn't take advantage of the process that God has given us, that they were weak and sickly, and many died because they had unconfessed sin in their lives. So then we looked at what do we do with our sin? Well, the first thing we have to do is ask God to reveal it to us, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. By the way, sometimes you don't have to ask very long. Sometimes, if you're like me and you say something, and as soon as it leaves your mouth, you think, "I wish I could push that back in." Amen. Or the thoughts that you have. So we have to ask God honestly. And of course, that's Psalm 139:23. "Search me, O God, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me." Then we mentioned not only ask God to reveal our sin, but agree with God about our sin. How important that is, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fool's errand to ask God to reveal your sin to you and then have an argument about it. What did David say? He said, "Listen, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified." So then we talked about how we need to confess our sins to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, ladies and gentlemen, each one of us will never be sinlessly perfect, but each one of us can have a clean slate anytime. Isn't that encouraging? I'll tell you what, as you walk through this world, and I know there will be people that will call me and say, "Pastor, I need you to pray about this." And by the way, when they do that, I try to do it right away so I don't forget it. Amen. I have that problem too. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad to know that before I pray, Brother Hurth, that I can say, "Lord, please, please forgive me of this. Forgive me of that." That I can have a clean slate that my prayers can reach the throne. And by the way, that's not exclusive to pastors. It's exclusive to God's people. Amen. So we talked about asking God to reveal our sin and then agreeing with God, then confessing our sin. Then also, not just confessing, ladies and gentlemen, but forsaking. We call that repenting. Amen. Forsaking. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. And then lastly, we talked about putting up hedges to help us not to sin. Oh, this is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Make not provision for the flesh. Romans 13:14 says. And I gave you the personal illustration of when I got saved in 1995. I used to like to take a drink of beer. And so a hedge that I put up in my life was I was just not going to have beer in the fridge. And then I put up another hedge that said, I'm not going to go to the liquor store even if I want to buy a Coca-Cola. Amen. And those are hedges that we can put up that'll help us not to sin. Amen. Again, we're not ever going to be sinless, but we should and strive to be sinning less. Amen? So we look at sense and nonsense about prayer and unconfessed sin. This week, our study, our topic is sense and nonsense about prayer and unforgiveness. I read the story of a slave back when slavery was the law of the land in the 1800s, and a slave in Virginia, black man, was reading his Bible, and his master came by and said, there's enough time for reading the Bible on Sunday. And he commanded that transgression be dealt with harshly, and that the man was to be whipped and then to put into solitary confinement for this infraction. And the punishment was meted out, and the man was in solitary confinement, and the master walked by that evening, and he heard that sweet, godly black man praying for him. And he prayed and he said, forgive him, forgive my master, and touch his heart and save him and make him a good Christian. And the prayer so moved that master that he literally fell to his knees, repented, and trusted Christ as his Savior. You say, how could that slave who had been the victim of such gross injustice ask God to forgive and see such a miraculous answer to prayer? How could that happen? I'll tell you why. Because prayer plus unforgiveness is nonsense. Let me say that again. Prayer plus unforgiveness is nonsense. They're not going anywhere. And he realized, hey, if I want God to hear my prayers, I'm going to have to forgive. Forgive. Look at Mark chapter 11. We see three things in the text, and they're not the body of our message, but we see just by way of introduction here. I want you to see, number one, the conceivable. The conceivable in verse number 24. What does it say there? It says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, all within the will of God. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you something. With God, all things are possible. That's why we pray. Amen. I'm moved by the prayer of David. You remember when David had sinned and of course, Nathan came and with his bony finger said, thou art the man. And he said that David's child was going to die. And David didn't understand it all, but I'll tell you what he did. He prayed. He prayed. And you remember that after the child had died, he washed his face and he came and he gave that, by that way, that great soliloquy to all those you have lost a child. He said that the child's not going to come back to me, but I'll go to him one day. But why did David pray? Because he believed in the conceivable of prayer. You know, our God, ladies and gentlemen, can still do anything.
Amen.
That's what that's saying right there. It gives the limitations on prayer right there, the conceivable. We see the conceivable. I want you to see something else, though. We see not only the conceivable, but in verse 25, we see the command. How about this one, folks? By the way, I have this underlined in red, and it's very old in my Bible. It's starting to fade a little bit. But this whole verse of 25 is underlined. Why? Because it says, and when ye stand praying, what's the next word, church?
Forgive.
Forgive. That's the command. Listen, a command is not something that's optional. Let me just say this. A command is not something that changes based on your personal circumstances. That's why when I think about, and I tell folks this, I said, you know, Jesus did command us to gather together. Come on, church. He commanded us to gather together. That's a command. That's not up for debate. It's not up for, Aunt Phyllis came over today. No, Aunt Phyllis can stay. We're going to church. Amen. It's a command. This, he says, if you're going to pray, you better forgive. If you stand praying, forgive. That's the command. Then, you know what we see in verse 26? We see the conceivable, the command. We see the consequence, don't we? Verse 26, what's the consequence? If ye do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, or will your Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespass. Pastor, does that mean if I don't forgive that I'm not saved? No. It means, though, your relationship with Christ is going to be broken. Going to be broken. Going to be split. I read the story years ago, and it's hard to believe it's been so long. But how many of you remember the tragedy at Columbine? I think all of us would remember that day, 1999, April of 1999. And I remember reading a book about it, and they were talking about one of the young men who had been shot, and he was a very famous picture of him. He was the young man that they pulled out of the window. I don't know if you saw that. They pulled him out of the window, and what had happened was part of his spinal cord had been basically severed. And so he was trying to walk, and his mind was saying walk, but the electrical impulses that needed to get down to his legs weren't making it there because it had been severed. Can I tell you, that's what unforgiveness is like? You say, I want my prayers to get to God, but if you have unforgiveness, you have severed the lifeline. You've severed. He says right here, the consequence of us not extending forgiveness is that we will not be forgiven. So when we go to God and we confess the sins, and we've got a sick child, we need prayer answered. If we've got unforgiveness in our heart, listen to me, God is not answering that prayer. He tells us forgive. So let me give you five things, and then we'll give some thoughts and some applications tonight. First of all, number one, we are all in need of forgiveness. And all God's people said, amen. Verse 25, it says it right there. When you stand praying, forgive. Why? If you have aught against any. Why? That your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you. Today, I needed to ask God for forgiveness. Now, maybe you're perfect. God bless you if you are. I'm not. Amen. I needed forgiveness today. We all need forgiveness. Amen. We're all, just by virtue of the fact that we are sons of Adam and Eve, we have a fallen nature, and that fallen nature will cause us to need forgiveness. So number one, we all need forgiveness. I tell you, you get in church for a while, and you can forget that. You can forget that. As the world gets more wicked and wicked, and we're trying to stand and do right and be right, we need to remember that those people are sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. Amen. You say, well, they didn't listen to me when I witnessed to them. I didn't get saved the first Sunday I went to church. Some of you grew up in church. You didn't get saved the first time you heard the gospel. It was years and years and years and years of sowing seed. God help us to have... Hey, listen, we need to have a firm stand. Amen, church? And I think we do. I think we have the kind of stand that we ought to. But we need to remember also that they're sinners in need of forgiveness, and you and I are still sinners in need of daily forgiveness with God. Amen? So number one, we're in need of forgiveness. Number two, we must ask for forgiveness. You know, we can walk around all day and know we need forgiveness, but never do anything about it. Come on, church. Amen. The model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses or debts. Amen. Forgive us. Why? Because we're indebted to you. We need forgiveness. Amen. That's the way Jesus told us to pray. Why would He tell us that? Because we need to ask Him to forgive us. Well, it's not an easy thing, is it? By the way, let's take that to the human realm. Have you ever had to ask for somebody's forgiveness? No, I never have. No, you really do if that's you. Amen. It's not easy, is it? You know why? Because we're proud creatures by nature. Amen. We're proud creatures by nature. We don't like to ask for forgiveness. But I'll tell you this, you can walk around with unforgiveness all the time if you don't ask for it. We mentioned it before, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we must ask for forgiveness. Oh, this is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Once we know we're in need of forgiveness, and once we ask for forgiveness, now I'm talking about with our relationship with God here, we need to accept forgiveness. That is not easy. You know why it's not easy? David told us why it's not easy in Psalm 51. He said, "My sin is ever before me." You know what we have here? We have the greatest hard drive that was ever designed. And everything that goes in stays in until the day when Jesus Christ wipes away all tears and all sorrows and all filthy memories. It stays in here. And so we know we've transgressed. But I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, you need to accept the forgiveness of God. You need to trust His Word. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's so important, ladies and gentlemen. We have to learn, if we could say it this way, we have to learn to forgive ourselves after we've been forgiven by God. Not easy. Not easy. By the way, sometimes it's hard in the human realm. We ask for forgiveness or we need forgiveness and the other person maybe won't grant it. That happens, but we have to accept forgiveness from God, from ourselves, from others. Here's something. I want you to hold your place there in Mark. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Great chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Point number one, we're all in need of forgiveness. Point number two, we must ask for forgiveness. Point number three, we must accept forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12 here. Point number four, we must recall our Lord's request for and granting of forgiveness. Say, well, what does that have to do with Hebrews chapter 12? Look at verse number 3, church. Look at verse number 3. For consider or think about, dwell upon, meditate on. For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If you go back up a verse, it talked about how Jesus endured the cross. And you remember, ladies and gentlemen, when He was on the cross, that first cross utterance that He made in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Sam Jones was a great preacher in the early 20th century. Used to call him Fighting Sam Jones, amen. And he fought for something, like Billy Sunday, amen. Fought against liquor. Sam Jones had a habit of holding grudges against people that had wronged him. By the way, it's a habit that has not disappeared. But Sam Jones got under conviction about it, and he said this. He said, "Brother Will, I'll only hold a grudge against somebody if they've treated me worse than I've treated God." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let us never forget it was our sins who put our Savior on the cross. And he says this, when you're considering the matter of forgiveness, think about the Savior. Think about the Savior. Think about what He forgave. Amen. So number four, we must recall our Lord's request for and granting of forgiveness. And then number five, and we're going to go to two scriptures here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3 and then over to Matthew 18. Three scriptures. I'm sorry, I said two. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know this verse. Verse 32. I preached a sermon out of this verse entitled "The Missing Ingredients in Fundamentalism." They're all there. Say, what are they? Kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. Kindness, what does it say? "And be ye kind one to another." We could stop right there. That'd be all right. A little more kindness, amen. One to another, amen. Show a little bit of love and kindness, amen. But that doesn't stop there. It says, be kind one to another, tender hearted, having a tender heart one toward another. I don't always have a tender heart. I want to have a tender heart, though. We got in the hospital today, and I saw little Vanessa, and there she was with that arm all locked up, and she had a compound fracture, 3 fractures, an elbow was broken, bone was actually protruding out of the skin and pulled back in, and Mrs. Lawley began to just tell me about it, and God just gripped my heart. I just got so tender, and I started crying. I probably shouldn't admit that to you folks. I started crying. I said, my goodness, that poor little baby girl. What is that? That's God helping me to have a tender heart. God having a tender heart. Then it doesn't stop there. It says, forgiving one another. And it doesn't stop there. Not just forgiving one another, because boy, we'd find a loophole in that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, right.
Forgiving one another, but they did this. But you don't know. Well, God doesn't stop. He just put a comma in there and says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, go over to, you're in Ephesians, go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verse 13. But pastor, you just don't understand. That's true. That's true. I don't understand a lot of things. But I do understand the plain teaching of the Word of God on this subject. What's it say, Pastor? Verse 13 of chapter 3. Forbearing one another. And that's a great one. That means to put up with. So that person in your life that maybe that Christian that you're having trouble with, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to put up with them. In love. Amen. Don't just walk up to them and say, I'm forbearing you. Amen. No, just say, in your heart, boy, I love them. I know they're part of the family of God. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And here it is, folks. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That about settles the matter. Pastor Tharp's dad was one of our instructors in Bible college, and he used to get real deep into the Greek. He'd say, do you know what the Greek word for all means? It means all. It's exactly what it means, amen? You say, you know what this verse means? It says it means if you have a problem with anybody, forgive them just like Christ forgives you. That's it. So we must extend forgiveness. Boy, go over to Matthew 18 and we'll move quickly through this. You know the story here. Jesus teaching a parable of the unforgiving servant. And here's this man and Peter comes to him and said, hey, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? And he thought he was being super spiritual. I've been saved almost 20 years now. I don't think I've had anybody wrong me 7 times in one day. I don't think I have. Maybe I have, but Peter thought he was kind of polishing his halo a little bit. Hey, how about 7 times, Lord? Would that be fine? Amen. And the Lord says, how about 70 times 7? 490 times, he said, forgive. And then he goes on to tell the story of this man who owed a debt of 10,000 talents. An incredible debt. He was a servant. He was not a lord. There was no way he could have possibly paid that. But he fell down at the feet of this rich man and said, please don't sell my wife. Don't sell my children. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And the Bible says that the Lord was moved with compassion. He saw this simple man. And he said in his heart, well, I've got enough. You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. And you would have think, honestly, folks, if it was me or if it was you, Brother Jim, we'd have been singing zippity-doo-dah going out of there. I don't know what that translates to in Hebrew, but it'd be good. Amen? And what did he do? He went out and he found somebody that owed him 100 pence. Basically a month's wage. And the Bible says he grabbed him by the throat and very kindly and compassionately said, no, he didn't. He said, pay me what you owe me now or else. And he said the exact, this servant that was trying to get some words out because we had him by the throat, amen, he gave the exact same speech. He said, Have patience with me, I will pay thee all. I want to tell you something, Mrs. T. He could have paid it all. Probably wouldn't have taken him that long. He said, no. You and your family are going to be split, sold. You're going into prison. And boy, the servants of that Lord got wind of that. And they went back to the Lord who'd forgiven them the debt of 10,000 talents. And he brought, the Bible says, the Lord was wroth with him. And he brought him in and he said, what on earth? I forgive you this huge debt just because you asked me. And now, who do you think you are to not forgive this person? And ladies and gentlemen, look at verse 35. And the Bible says, he delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay what he owed. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now listen, I'm not naive when it comes to this situation. I know some of you have been hurt beyond measure. You have been hurt in ways that you never thought you could be hurt. But I'm going to tell you something. And this comes from my heart, as somebody just like you who's been hurt, sadly, by believers. When you do not forgive, not only are you breaking a command of God, but you are giving that person power over your life. You are giving that person power over your life. I've seen it. Pastor, I've watched people's countenances. You mention a name, and they sour up. They give it that. You could tell there's unforgiveness in there. There's bitterness in there. When I first got saved, I think I mentioned this before, but there was a fellow I worked with. His name was Mark Lewis. Let's call him Marky. Marky and I did some things together before I got saved that are not fit to mention in the church. So Marky didn't take my salvation as good as I did. It was pretty great to me. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins are all forgiven. So Marky used to make it his business to try to get under my skin. He would cuss more when I would come out into his area. He would use the Lord's name in vain because he knew it really started to gall me. And I remember one time, Brother Jim, I had just enough. But praise God for the grace He gives us. And I got right in Marky's face, and Marky was about up to here on me. And I got about this far away from Marky's nose, and I said, Mark, no matter what you do, you're not going to bother me. It's not going to work. You might as well just stop. And I walked away. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I was not going to give a person that kind of control in my life. And I want to tell you, when you harbor unforgiveness, not only are you not getting your prayers answered, but you're allowing that person that you won't forgive control in your life. Dr. Malone used to say, I'd rather have cancer in my body than unforgiveness in my heart. I saw another quote on that. It said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not good, folks. Let me give you some simple thoughts and applications, and we'll be done tonight. Unforgiveness leads to a broken relationship with God. In a lack of fellowship. It just will. It'll sap your spiritual life right out of you. Why? Because you've cut the lifeline. Unforgiveness also is a barrier to effective prayer. Why? Because God commands it. He said, if you're going to pray, forgive. The book I was reading on this, the fellow was so bold to say, if you're not going to forgive, don't even bother to pray. Now, I wouldn't say that. But then again, in Mark 11:25, Jesus said it, didn't he? He said, when you stand praying, forgive. Got to do it. So broken relationship, a barrier to effective prayer. I'll tell you what else it can lead to. A bitter and hard heart. And all God's people said, absolutely right. And I'll tell you what else it can do. It can lead to a brother being alienated. So let's say a brother does wrong you. And he comes back and he says, brother, please forgive me. I was wrong. I was stupid. I was hot-headed. And you say, no, you were wrong. You hurt me. You know what you're going to lead to? That brother being alienated. Who knows what will happen to him, where he'll go because of your unforgiveness. Just a couple applications. By the way, prayer plus forgiveness, that makes sense. Amen. Prayer and unforgiveness, nonsense. So what do we have to do? What if we want an effective prayer life, we want God to hear our prayers, we have important things that we're praying about, even tonight. What must we do? We must forgive four ways. Just real quick, you may want to write these down. I promise you, these will help you. Four ways to forgive. The first way to forgive is frankly. What does that mean? It means honestly, from your heart. From your heart. Honestly, just say, you know what, I'm going to forgive this person. Can I say this? You don't always... Folks are funny about this sometimes. They have to go and let's say Brother Merrill wronged me, and I, in my privacy of my prayer time with God, I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to forgive Brother Merrill. And now I go to Brother Merrill and say, Brother Merrill, I just want you to know I forgive you. Now, how many of you think I'm going to start a fight? And Brother Merrill says, well, I don't forgive you. Pow! Amen. Listen, that's something between you and alone with God. You don't have to announce it. Forgive me for the younger generation. You don't have to announce it on Facebook. I've just forgiven Bill Merrill.
Yeah, I need it.
No, that's between you and God. Honestly, frankly forgiven. Yeah. By the way, when you do that between you and God, you don't have to tell anybody else. You know how clean your heart feels after that. Amen. Secondly, not only forgive frankly, but forgive fully. Forgive it all. Don't hold a little back. You'll see why the next point. You don't want to hold a little back. Listen, forgive it all. I've had people come into my... I've had to go to people and ask for forgiveness. I've had people come into my office and they were teared up and they... got all and they came and we talked about it, and I said, listen, it's done. Don't ever bring it up again. You don't even have to. And praise God, I've had people extend me the same grace. Thank God for that. That's the way it's supposed to be, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it's supposed to be. So forgive frankly, fully. Forgive freely. When you forgive freely, you give up the right to pick up a club every time that person comes back and does something that bothers you. Well, I remember when you did that. No, not if you forgive it frankly and fully, you don't.
Amen.
You forgive it freely. Listen, just like God forgives us. You know, you and I right now are completely justified before God because of His forgiveness, because of the blood of Christ. That's the way we ought to extend forgiveness. Freely. Freely. And then lastly, forgetfully. Well, Pastor, you know, only God can forgive and forget. That's true. That's true. But we can forgive forgetfully. You know how we do that? Such an easy principle in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity thinketh no evil. I love that person. I love each one of you. So you know what? Forget it. I can't tell you the amount of times somebody's asked me for forgiveness, and that's exactly what I said. I said, forget it. I'm glad God does. And you know, I understand we're not God, but boy, we sure can do our best to say, I'm going to forget it in such a way that when somebody comes to you and they say, please forgive me about this, oh my goodness, I forgot about that a long time ago. Amen. Boy, that's the way it ought to be, folks. If we want an effective prayer life, we can't have unforgiveness. We got to deal with it. And I'll tell you this, unforgiveness is, in my opinion, just my opinion, in this day that we live in, one of the main reasons why we don't see revival. Why? Because there's no way to get our prayers answered if we've got unforgiveness. There's just no way. So sense and nonsense about prayer and unforgiveness. Father, we pray for your blessing tonight.